So are you ready for the word today? Hallelujah. I see you there. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to continue in trusting God in times of trouble. And we're talking particularly about hearing the voice of God, hearing the voice of God. And I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get right into our word. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for now this portion of our service. We have an opportunity to hear directly from you through your word and through this vessel. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Guide us by your Holy Spirit as we hear the word, as we hear the stories, as we hear the illustrations, Lord. Teach us, Lord, and grow us, Lord, so that we would make impact here in the world, light in the world, and as salt in the earth. We thank you. Now, feed us your word in Jesus' name. Amen. And so here in the Bay Area, we are in day number 76 of the shelter in place. And it's a long time for folks to be sheltering in place. And we're seeing a lot of activity in our neighborhoods, people walking, people doing things to stay healthy. In fact, I just mentioned that many churches are going back. Today is May 31st, and many churches are going back to their locations, to their facilities to have their services. Of course, they are abiding by the social distancing standards that have been set. But many churches are going back, and many churches like us are holding back, and we're waiting till we receive an all clear. But what's interesting is not only are we in the midst of the impact that's caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, our nation is in turmoil as a result of the unwarranted killing of George Floyd, who died on camera while handcuffed, pinned to the ground, and the police officer's knee and the weight of his body firmly placed on Mr. Floyd's neck for more than 8 minutes. And we know that if any of you have turned on the news, you've seen legitimate protesters, but you've also seen those small groups of folks that join the protester, and they participate in looting and vandalism and destruction of property, even physical violence. In fact, I got a call this morning before our service because we have an attender that normally attends our church. He's in North Carolina. He normally attends via Zoom. And he says, "Pastor Will, I won't be able to make it to the church service today." And as he's talking, I'm listening to this noise in the background. And he says, "Well, where we are, it has been severely impacted by people and damaging office complexes and that." And he works in the glass industry. So he says, "Pastor Will, I won't be able to attend because I'm already on call and it looks like we're going to be working overtime." Let me just say this as I move into our message, because see, we really need to hear the voice of God. See, when these things occur and other things occur, we really need to hear the voice of God. And thus, it's so timely that we've already started this two-part. It may even be three-part. We'll see how the Holy Spirit does this. But listening, how to hear the voice of God. And let me just say, you know, believe it or not, if you are a believer of a non-denominational church or even some denominational churches, did you know that you're part of the Protestant movement? Did you know that way back in the 1400s that there was a break from the Catholic Church, and that break started with Wycliffe and John Huss and many others that came along, and this became the Reformation movement. They wanted to reform the church, but the Catholic Church, and they wanted to reform it because they were doing things like penance and they were taking property. The church was state owned, and so therefore there was lots of money involved. And there are people that say, you know what? We don't believe God is in this. We don't believe God operates this way. And the final straw was Martin Luther, where he found out that the just shall live by faith. And he read that in Romans, and he says, well, wait a minute. The just shall live by faith. not by giving money to the church for purgatory, not by praying to angels and statues, and not by giving, the church taking property in the name of God. He says the just, he found out that the just shall live by faith. And that's what started the protest, the Protestant movement. So protest in itself is not a bad thing. In fact, when we look throughout history, many protests are what gave us freedoms that we have here today. But I'll tell you this, that protests are not good, or let me say it this way, they should not include the damaging of property, the hurting of people, those things. That's not part of the protest. That's part of what we would consider violence. And so I just wanted to share that with you all. I'm not political in any way as it comes, as it pertains to my preaching. Just want to be clear that those who are protesting, let them protest. Those who are vandalizing and burglarizing and setting on fire, and those, that's criminal. That is against the law. So I just want to encourage you with that. In the meantime, or as we continue on, see, we have to hear the voice of the Lord, because many people are getting swept up. Many people are getting swept up in a variety of ways. And so not only that, mainstream media and social media are buzzing with people's perspectives. They're buzzing with people's opinions. And you want to know what God says. See, you want to know what God says. With so much going on, we need to hear from the Lord. And let me say this, as I said last time, God is still speaking very clearly, by the way. Can you hear him? No matter where you are in this pandemic, no matter where you are in the unrest that's in our nation today, no matter what you are facing, no matter what has occurred in your life, God is still speaking. Hallelujah. I see some of you worshiping. I see your hands out there. Yes, God is still speaking. So what I want to do is I want to continue with sharing with you seven ways to determine if you are hearing from God. Seven ways to determine if you are hearing from God. Remember that? Now, and the first way is, does it agree with the Bible? Let me say that again. Does it agree with the Bible? Remember, the word of God is still relevant, by the way. It's not old fashioned. We sang some of the old songs today. That was such a joy to sing those old songs. How many of you enjoy singing those old songs today? Oh yeah, my heart was overjoyed. I wanted to dance in here. Hallelujah. And just like those songs are still relevant, though they are old, even more so, the word of God is always relevant. It's never outdated. It's never out of style. It never doesn't matter. It always matters. In fact, we find this in Luke chapter 21, verse 33. It says this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Everybody see that there? The word will always be relevant. It will never be out of style, because it will never pass away. So number one, does it agree with the Bible? God will never tell you to do something that contradicts his word. See, this even helps us for what's going on in society today. God will never tell you to do something that contradicts his word. So number two, will it make me more like Jesus? Hearing the voice of God. When I hear this voice, will it make me more like Jesus? See, Jesus is the standard by which we are to measure ourselves. He is how we live. We are being conformed into the image of his dear son. The scripture says that let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So Jesus, in conformity to him, is our goal. And it's the Father's goal for us that we would be conformed into the image of his dear son. And that happens day by day. ladies and gentlemen. That happens as we hear the word of God and pray with God and commune with God and are guided by the Spirit of God and obey God. We are being conformed into the image of his dear son. Even when we experience trial and we come through those trials having gained endurance, having gained patience, we too are then being conformed into the image of his dear son. So number two, will it make me like Jesus? Remember John chapter 15. Remember what it said there? John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. It's a very, very easy scripture to remember because he says this, I am the true vine, and this is Jesus speaking, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Remember that there? So really for you and I, as we are being conformed into the image of Christ, there should be fruit that's manifesting in us that others get to pick. Others get to pluck, if you will, off of our branches, because the branches that bear fruit, they're pruned that they would bear more fruit. So number one, does it agree with the Bible? Does what I'm hearing agree with the Bible? Number two, will I be more like Jesus? Hallelujah. I pray that you're listening to that today. Number three, does my church family confirm it? Remember that? Those in my spiritual community, can I hear from God through those that he's placed me in community with? And I share this and they hear from him as well. And they confirm what God is saying, or they say, hey, you know, I'm not hearing from God on that, or I can't see God in this, but I will pray with you so that we can see God move. Whatever way he moves, we're going to see God move. See, we need that connectivity. Remember in Ephesians chapter 4, and some of you know it by heart. They use this passage of scripture, or they quote this passage of scripture in many ways. But look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says this, and he himself, meaning Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, we'll talk more about that later on in our sermon today. But here we discover that God has ordained that the church, your local assembly, would be that place where you can grow. You can be discipled. You can learn biblical principles of life. You can share life with others that are doing the same thing. They're being discipled and they're learning the biblical principles for life, and that you can be a witness. You can be a light in the world, salt in the earth, that you could share the gospel and other people come to know Jesus Christ through that experience, through you being fed at a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, you being discipled, but you belonging to that community so that you can hear from others within that community that God has ordained would come alongside and support you. Hallelujah. Get a Lord a hand, praise. See, that's good stuff right there. So we want to know that's why we are to be part of a church. In fact, I like to say it this way. Did you know that there is a chair in a church waiting for you? It has your name on it. If you're not a believer, excuse me, if you're not a member of a church, if you don't belong to an assembly, I want to let you know there's a chair, or there's a pew that has a spot for you. There's a chair in the church that's waiting for you, that's looking for you, just like you're looking for a fellowship to belong to, a church to belong to. Well, that church is looking for you to connect with them because it's a divine appointment. Hallelujah. So here we need each other. We need that connectivity. In fact, I got a call earlier this week when the news went out about the death, and here I got this call, and the person was very distraught, and they really, really needed to hear from Pastor Will about this because they were so charged emotionally that she, by her own admission, said, well, Pastor Will, if I would have went out And in the state that I was in, I probably would have said something wrong. I probably would have done something wrong. And I didn't want to do that. I just really needed to hear the Lord through you. And so when you are connected like that, you have the opportunity to have someone come alongside and confirm what God is saying, or even guide. Remember Galatians 6:1, when a brother or sister is overtaken in the fault, he who is spiritual, go and restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest you yourself be tempted. Well, that can only happen when there is relationship. So number one, how do I know if I'm hearing from God? Does it agree with the Bible? Number two, will I be more like Jesus? Number three, does my church family confirm it? Everybody with me so far? Amen. Now we get into some uncharted territory, because this is where we left off last time. So number four, how do I know that I'm hearing from God? Number four, is it consistent with how God shaped me? Say that with me. Is it consistent with how God shaped me? And that comes from Ephesians chapter 2. And look at what it says here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship. Everybody see that there? Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Here, that word workmanship, it means masterpiece. And the his is God. We are God's masterpieces. We are God's workmanship. And how many of you know that everything God created is good? Oh yeah, you can look at the book of Genesis. Everything that he created, it was good. And so here he says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that what? We should walk in them. Hallelujah. This is what God has done. And what that means for you and for me, that means that there is some work that God has shaped you for. There are some things that God has shaped you for. You are his masterpiece, and there are some things that only you can do in the earth through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. See, there's some things. It's not for someone else to do. It's not for someone else to see. God is saying, hey, I have shaped you for specific reasons, for a specific purpose, and I want you to fulfill that purpose. See, God won't tell you to do something that contradicts how he shaped you. I remember going years ago when I started walking with the Lord. I was a young man, and I remember the church that I went to. We used to go door to door. We started because before I went, they had just started going door to door to witness to people. And so I said, oh, is that what we do? And I'm zealous. I'm just enjoying my life with the Lord because I know what I was saved from. I don't know. How many of you remember what you were saved from? How many of you remember the life that you live and how, as I was toe up from the flow up, that's what they used to say, right? How I had kicked my life to the curb. And I remember it was as if it were yesterday. And I say, Lord, and the weight of the world was off my shoulders. I knew I was loved by God, and I knew that God had a plan for my life. Now, I didn't know what it all included, but I knew I was in good hands with God. So I would do everything. I was at the church early in the day. In fact, I asked the pastor to give me a key. I wanted to be at the church before folks was, and oftentimes I was locking up. I even became the church exterminator. I remember we had roaches. We had roaches. This is one of them little storefront churches, right? I remember we had roaches, and I say, I become the exterminator. I just wanted to do everything I could for the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm learning, and I'm being groomed along the way. And I remember we used to go door to door witnessing, and we would go door to door, and they would open the door, and we say, hi, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I mean, we didn't have like a specific honed in plan. We just went out there, and there's times people closed the door on us. There's times that people didn't answer the door. There's times people thought we were another group of folks that usually go door to door. And then there's times that people say, you know what? I'm glad you came. I really needed prayer. I really needed to hear what you had to say. And I so appreciate that. And even when we started Triumph Ministries before we changed to Impact Church, we went door to door and we would do that. And you know what? The Lord began to show me some things about that. He began to show me that not everybody is shaped to go door to door. Now, some people are shaped to go door to door. Amen. And praise God for you who are shaped to go to door to door, because we need you going door to door. We need you on the front lines like that, sharing the gospel. But I remember there were some people that were so afraid. They were so, they say, Pastor, they wouldn't even show up. See, they wouldn't answer the phone. You know, hey, the church is going door to door. We want everybody to come out. Come on, let's make a difference. And there's some folks that just wouldn't show up. And the Lord began to teach me about that. He says, Will, I didn't shape everybody to go door to door. I did shape some to go door to door. But I want you to know, Will, that some are going to do some other things. So we begin to broaden that ministry. We begin to say, okay, for those of you who are not shaped to go door to door, but you are shaped to pray, why don't you come out and you pray in the church while others are going door to door? And for those of you who have the gift of helps and you like to serve and you like to minister, why don't you bring the coffee and the sandwiches and that kind of thing, and you can serve, and we can have a station where people can come back and get a snack or get something. And before you know it, then we are utilizing people as they are shaped to serve, as they are gifted by God, because everybody can't go door to door. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand, praise. Just know that about the body. Now, somebody has been freed already based on what I just said, because you've been trying to fit a mold. You've been trying to fit a schematic, if you will. You've been trying to fit a structure that's not yours. That's somebody else's. And so I want you to look with me in Romans. I want you to look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 helps us to understand this dynamic that what's for you is for you, and how God wants to use you, that's how he wants to use you. And this is in part how you know if you're hearing from God. If you are shaped to do what it is that he's saying do, then you know that you are hearing from God. Look at Romans chapter 12. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 4 through 6. Look at what it says here. And this is the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking to this very thing. He says, for as we have many members in one body, meaning us as physical human beings, we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Everybody see that there? So here, what he's saying is we all have many members, right? Many members in one body. Look at my hands. I know they're pretty big, but look at my hands here. I have fingers on my hands. Now, what if I were all just one finger? I'd be this big finger talking to you, but I wouldn't be able to talk, because fingers can't talk, can they? Hallelujah. Praise God. I know. But here, look at the imagery that the Apostle Paul uses. He's saying, as we all are members of one another, but not all members do not have the same function. Now, let's go ahead and look at verse 5, and we'll look at the balance of that passage. In verse 5, so we, being many, he's talking about the church, we're many, we are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Everybody see that there? And look at what verse 6 says. Having then gifts the same. Everybody's the same. Is that what the scripture says there? I see some of you shaking your head. Does it say everybody does the same thing? Everybody has the same gift. Everybody has the same speech. Everybody walks the same. Well, is that what it says? No, what he says is, having then gifts differing, let us differing according to the grace that is given us to us, let us so use them. Now, let me say that again. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. See, each of us have received grace. Each of us, in fact, earlier on, a few passages up, he says, we've been given a measure of faith. And so therefore, God wants you to operate in the gifts that he's given you according to the measure of grace that he's given you, not the measure of grace that he's given someone else, not a gift that someone else has. He wants us. Look at what verse 6 says again. having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And then he gives some examples. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. And then he goes on. You can just read the rest of that. But he goes on and he begins to name gifts. And he says, if you operate in this gift, do it according to the faith that God has given you, according to the grace that God has given you. And guess what? Only you can do what God wants you to do. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Only you can do what God has empowered you, has equipped you, has filled you with his spirit, and has given you his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Only you can do what God has equipped you to do. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he has foreordained that you should walk in. So some of you are door to doors, and praise God for you door to doors. Of course, you know we can't do that right now, but thank God for the door to doors. And some of you are the servers, and some of you are the prayers, and some of you are the laying on of handsers, and some of you are the prophesiers, and some of you have other gifts, administration, and some of you keep order, and some of you are wise, and some of you may provide healing for folks, then God would heal through you to heal others. Praise God. But see, that's specific to you. God wants you to operate how he has shaped you. He does. I pray that you are getting this. I pray that some of you who have been trying to be like someone else, I remember when I was coming up in the church, and you would hear these folks, and you would think they were born in the same family because they would have the same kind of terminology. I remember I ran across a few guys, and they would talk slow. Well, you know, God has said, come on, y'all, help me out. Oh, now there's nothing wrong with that, but I remember a particular person that I knew quite well. When I talked to him regularly, he didn't talk like that. But when he would like be in the pulpit, or when he would be, you know, in front of folks, his speech would slow down. Hey, you know, praise God, everyone. Let's continue in his word. And I'm saying, well, why does he not talk to me like that when we're talking, right? And I realized that I think he, along with others, are trying to fit a mold that only belongs to that person who does. And I know there's some styles that are similar. I understand that. There's some ways that we do things within Christianity that's similar. But I want to set you, I want you to be free today. I want the Lord to set you free today to be who you are. Hallelujah. Would you dare to be yourself? Would you dare to be yourself and let the Holy Spirit use you as you are and not compare yourself to other people? Oh, glory to God. See, look at what 1 Corinthians says. We're going to read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at what it says. Now we've discovered that we are members of one another, right? And then some people were saying, well, I don't do it like this, and I can't do it like that. And I guess I'm not as important as they are. Look at what the Apostle Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For in fact, verse 14, for those of you who are taking notes, verse 14, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Now, we discovered that earlier on, right? If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So here I am, and I'm preaching. And I remember I was getting ready. Joe and I were going through a rehearsal service, just to give you guys a little backdrop. And I was in a position in my body where my leg went to sleep, and I didn't feel the tingling that sometimes you can feel when your leg goes to sleep. You know, you can kind of, oh yeah, I didn't feel anything. So here I am, and I got ready to step out, and I felt like nothing. And I say, oh no, my leg is numb, right? And I say, I'm not going to be in that position again. Anybody ever do that before? You find out that your leg or your arm or your hand or something is numb because you've been in that position so long. Now, it may be numb, but you cannot say, I no longer have a leg. You can no longer say, because it's numb, I no longer have a hand. Now, and so what the Apostle Paul is saying, he says here, In fact, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. No, it's still of the body, regardless if it doesn't believe that it's as significant as other things in the body, it is still part of the body. Look at what he says, because look at verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Look at verse 16. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, therefore is it therefore not of the body? Now, you know that Paul is asking what's called a rhetorical question. And a rhetorical question is a question that you don't answer. You just think about, and you really come to the appropriate conclusion that no, even though these parts are saying they're not of the body, are they not of the body? And the answer would have to be no. Look at verse 17. I love this because I alluded to it earlier on with my finger and hand illustration. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? Everybody see that there? If the whole were a hearing, where would be the smelling? And I like the smell. In fact, my wife, let me just say this. I know I'm putting her on the spot, but you know, I was walking into this area to prepare for our service today, to prepare to preach, and my wife has some oxtails on. Oh, praise God. How many of you like oxtails? Oh yeah, my wife she got up early this morning. And she put those oxtails, she started seasoning them. And then, you know, she likes to put a sear on them before she puts them in the oven. So here I am, I'm walking through. my wife is chatting me TMI. I'm walking through just as she's searing those oxtails. And I get a whiff of that. Oh man. So I can't wait until after this sermon and after this service, we have an oxtail and they smell so good. Look at what he says here. He says in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were an ear, where would be the smelling? If I was an ear, I wouldn't smell those oxtails. Look at verse 18. But now God has set the members. Who has set the members? God has set the members, each one of them, where? In the body, just as he pleased. Everybody see that there? And then verse 19, if they were all one member, where would the body be? Oh, praise God. I want to help you understand that if you're listening to the voice of God and God wants you to do something, I want to let you know he shaped you for that. And if he hasn't shaped you for that, it may not be for you to do. So you may be doing something that tradition says do. Hallelujah. Uh-oh. You may be doing something that man says do. Hallelujah. You may be doing something that history, you say, well, we do it. It reminds me of the story of this lady that used to cook a turkey for Thanksgiving. And what she would do is she would take the turkey and cut the legs off and put the rest of the turkey in the pot. And she would bake the legs separately. And so her daughter is growing up and her daughter sees this. And she says, Mama, why do you cut the legs off and bake them in a different pan than you do the part of the turkey? And the mom says, well, we've always done it this way. And so then the girl goes to grandma. She goes to grandma and she said, Grandma, why does mom cut the turkey? Or why do we? That's what she asked. Why do we cut the legs off the turkey and put it in the pot and then bake the legs in a different pan? And grandma said, well, because back then that was the only size pan we had. See, some people are doing things because that's the way you've always done it. But God, I want to help you understand that God says, behold, I do a new thing. Shall you not know it? It will come to pass. And for some of you, God is wanting to do that new thing, but you're doing this old thing because you've done it. You've done it. People before you have done it. People before them have done it. I want to encourage you. I want you to operate the way God has shaped you to operate. I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to be free to be who you are and allow the Holy Spirit to use you to make impact in the world the way he has shaped you. So then the question becomes, well, how do I know how I'm shaped, Pastor Will? How do I know, you know, how God has shaped me? What does that mean? Well, it was a little more difficult for us to understand or to see it very clearly. And I'm so thankful for Pastor Rick Warren, who years and years ago, when he the Lord used him to pen the Purpose Driven Church and then the Purpose Driven Life and many of the books that he's written, he provides this acronym to help you to understand how God may have shaped you. And it is the word shape, S-H-A-P-E. And that the letter S stands for spiritual gifts. And that's what we're talking about here. Primarily, what is your gift? What are your spiritual gifts? How has God equipped you? And some of you are familiar with your gifts and some of you may not. I know just a couple of years ago, all of our ministry team, they took their spiritual gifts questionnaire. And I was just talking to someone recently, and I said, I think it may be time, because times are changing and God may want to do something, and he may be tweaking some things in us so that we can be available to do what it is that God desires that we do. So I'm looking at offering the spiritual gifts questionnaire again. In fact, what I'm going to do, we're going to make it available on our website for those of you who may not be members of Impact, but you still are kind of wanting to understand more about spiritual gifts. We'll make it available. You just go to our website, and Joe provides that information for you during his portion of the service. But the point here is you want to know that God has given every believer a gift or gifts. He has. And so you want to know how you're shaped. What's your spiritual gift? What is your heart? What do you, you know, well, we'll get into that. But what is your spiritual gift? How has God shaped you? And I'll tell you this, you can't understand your spiritual gift if you're not in the book. let me help you understand. You got to get into the book. You got to understand what those spiritual gifts are and how they're used, right? So number one, or the letter S, stands for spiritual gifts. And then the H in the word shape stands for heart. What is your passion? What are you passionate about? What rises to the top when somebody's asking you a question and you just start spouting off, and before you know it, you're going on and on, and you're giving detail and you're saying, yeah, and I like this and I do that. And see, you may have tapped in to something that you are passionate about. And if you are passionate about that and you are gifted in that area, or your gift supports that type of scenario that you are sharing, God may want to use you in that. So what is your spiritual gift? What is your passion? What's your shape? How do you like to engage with others? What's your heart? And then the A stands for ability. What can you do? What can you do? Now, some people can do some things and some people can't. I'll just be honest. Some people, I remember early on, a few folks from time to time was, hey, Pastor Will, I want to sing on the praise team. And I would hear them sing before. Now, I'm thankful I'm not mentioning any name, but I would hear them sing, and I know that they can't carry a tune. If the bucket was big as a 5-gallon bucket, they wouldn't be able to carry the tune in the bucket. Amen. and so in that regard, maybe singing isn't your thing, but maybe something else is. I am so thankful. Let me just say this. I am so thankful. How many of you saw Sister Gina? Sister Gina worshiping the Lord here today. She had her banners and she had her flag. I couldn't see exactly what it is because I'm looking on a laptop. I don't have a big screen in front of me. But how many of you were blessed by that? Let me just see, show of hands and a show of hand praise. How many of you were blessed by? I even saw somebody in the chat. Somebody was chatting, go, Sister Gina. Praise God, Sister Gina. I'm trying to look at the chat now. Praise God, Sister Gina. You are blessing me, Sister Gina. See, that's something that God has given Gina, among other things that she can do. I'm not saying it's just one thing, but look, just be you. Just allow him to use you. And so she likes to dance, and the Lord has put it in her heart to dance. And not only that, he's put it in her heart to learn even more about the dance. Everybody see that there? So the S stands for spiritual gift. The heart stands, the H stands for heart. Your A stands for ability. What can you do? Now, let me just say this before I move on. If you discover you can't do something, just wipe that off the windshield. That's the way I call it. It's like if there's a bug on the windshield, I get that. I push my button to get the water, the cleanser to come, and I wipe it off the windshield so it's not there anymore. If that's not what God has given you the ability to do, begin to seek God for what he has given you the ability to do. Some people try to fit in these molds in ministry. And let me just say this. Many of you think that your gift should only be used in a worship service. Oh, I beg to differ there. The scripture shows us that our gifts are to be used out in society. And as God uses us in society, what he does is he makes himself known to the world. Now, there are times our gifts will be used in a worship service, but don't limit yourself to thinking that you can only be used in a worship service. And those who do, they will wait until they're called upon in a worship service to exercise their gifts. I want to let you know that there's so many gifts that we have in scripture, and God desires that you would use those wherever you are, wherever you would be. And the Holy Spirit gives you that sense that this is time. He gives you that sense that this should happen right now. He gives you that word of encouragement, that word of wisdom. I didn't even mention those gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. There's so many gifts. So it's not limited to the worship service experience. Oh, glory to God. I hope you're getting this. Are you getting this today? I pray that you are getting this. You want to know that you can be used wherever God wants. So spiritual gift, heart, ability, and then P stands for personality. What's your personality? Oh, praise God. I'm so thankful that I can be me. Some of you appreciate that about me. But even my preaching style, I just go for it in Jesus' name. I have some great mentors, and some of you know some of them, but I'm still me. It's my personality. It's not my mentor's personality that I'm trying to mimic as I am sharing the word of God. It's me. God wants to use your personality. Some of you are quick with it. You can come up with a quip just like that. You come up with a saying, you come up with a slogan, you come up with some tasteful sarcasm or whatever it is. You can come up with those things really quick. And you know what? God could use that in your personality. He can use your personality in the gospel ministry. He can use that and will. He will design. Now, there are some things that he will begin to correct in us. There are some things that he will begin to prune in us. See, I'm not saying he just takes the flesh. I didn't notice I said personality. I didn't say flesh. So he will prune, as Jesus told us earlier on, every branch that bears fruit, the Father prunes that it would bring forth more fruit, right? So we may be pruned. There may be some characteristics about us that God says, nah, that's not for ministry. Nah, that's not for anybody else. Nah, that's not. But then as far as your personality is concerned, your personality is who you are. I'm so thankful for the Apostle Paul and his personality. You know, we have several epistles that were written, which were letters that were written to churches. We have several of those epistles that come from the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, I love what he writes to Timothy. You can see Paul's personality coming out in Timothy. He says, stir up the gift that's in you. Paul was an encourager. Right now, Barnabas is an encourager, but Paul would kind of get in your face. He would. Remember when Peter was eating with the Gentiles, and then when the Jews saw him eating with the Gentiles, he excused himself and he went in and hung out with the Jews. And Paul confronted it. The scriptures say that he confronted him to his face. See, Paul was one of those in your face kind of guys, but he wasn't disrespectful. See, he was in your face with what the word of God says. He was in your face with biblical principle, and you could trust Paul because he wouldn't use it against you, but he would use it to encourage you. Hallelujah. That's Paul's personality. So God wants to use your personality. And lastly, the E stands for experience. Experience. What are your life's experience? What have you experienced in life that you can bring to ministry, that you can bring to the sake of the gospel, that you can bring into bringing peace? What have you experienced? What are your experiences? And really, the older we get, the more experience we should have, by the way. And so God wants to encourage you, be yourself. Hallelujah. So how do I know if I'm listening to the voice of God? How do I know if it's what God wants me to do? Well, have you been shaped for that? Is it consistent with how God has shaped you? Hallelujah. I see some folks in the chat and I want to just acknowledge that. Keep chatting it up because you making me preach. Hallelujah. But keep chatting it up because I see you communicating with one another. Keep those chats going. Keep them going because this is the word of God. So let me ask, how do I know if I'm hearing from God? Number one, does it agree with the Bible? Number two, will I be more like Jesus? Number three, does my church family confirm it? Number four, is it consistent with how God has shaped me? And I'm going to conclude today on number five. Number five, does it concern my responsibility? Is it my responsibility? Am I responsible to act on this? That's the question. And it comes from John chapter 21. And I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 21, because we're going to see a portion of a story that many of us are familiar with, but we're not as familiar with what's said at the end of the part that we're familiar with. So some of you might know. In John chapter 1 is where Jesus sees his disciples again. Jesus has resurrected. He's here on earth and he's going to ascend. And we know that he ascends in Acts chapter 1. But here in John chapter 21, this is his final appearance to his disciple before he appears to descend, right? Or ascend, excuse me. And so this is where he's talking to Peter, but he says this. He says, Peter, if you love me, do you love me? And Peter said, yeah, you know, I phileo you. And Jesus is asking, do you agape me? Do you love me with an unconditional love? And Peter says, yes. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. Then he asked Peter again, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And then he asked Peter again, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And then he goes on and he says some things are going to happen. And look at what he gives Peter a charge. He says, this is what you are to do. And look at how Peter responds to this. Look at what it says in John chapter 21, verse 21. Peter seeing him, what happens is Peter sees John. As Jesus is giving Peter the instruction, he sees John. And look at what happens. Peter sees him, meaning sees John, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Everybody see that there? Here, Peter is hearing from Jesus. He's getting the commission, if you will. Feed my lambs. You're going to be Pastor Peter. Upon your confession of faith, I will build my church, he said in Matthew, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So here he's telling Peter, hey, I want you to feed my lambs. And Peter looks and said, well, what about him? Isn't that interesting that some of us will do that? Some of us will be receiving a commission from God and then begin to think, well, what about that person? What about him? What about her? Here, Jesus is saying, if I want him to stay here till I come back, that's my business. You do what I say. Oh, glory to God. Give the Lord a hand, praise. See, that's good. You do what I say. So is it my responsibility? That's number five. Does it concern my responsibility? Did God give it to me to do? See, that's a good way to knowing if this is the voice of God. I like what it says here. Some people hear the word with the thought that it's for somebody else. Let me say that again. Some people hear the word with the thought that it's for somebody else. Have you ever been in the service? Not you, but maybe somebody you know, as one of my favorite pastors says, sitting in the service. And I've seen this. I've witnessed this. Sitting in the service and the preacher is preaching. And then somebody on your row say, amen. And the preacher is preaching. And the person, amen. And really, they're saying amen because they're siding with the preacher, saying amen to the one who really should be hearing this. Amen. And many people do that. Your preacher's preaching. Amen. You hear that? And then make that the conversation on the way home. No! What's for you is for you. It is. If God has given you that commission, that amen is for you. is not for the person sitting next to you. That amen is for you. As Mom Yancey said, it's an individual thing. Somebody else chatted, that's called denial. Praise God. Here, when God gives us something to do, it's for us to do. Does it concern my responsibility? Now, there are some times it definitely does concern your responsibility. And you may see it, and I've said this before, you might be seeing something in your church or in your family or in your community, and you say, hey, you know, I think that needs to be done. I can see how that needs to happen. And one of the first things some people do is they'll go to the pastor, hey, pastor, this needs to happen. Or superintendent, this needs to happen. Or whatever your denominational structure is, this needs to happen. They'll go to the leadership. And oftentimes, God didn't say, I want you to go to leadership to make it happen. Oftentimes, he's saying, now, if you go to leadership, this needs to happen. And this is how I believe I can help. Ah, yes, yes, yes. See, this is how I believe I can. You know, I think the Lord has put youth ministry, or I believe the Lord has put evangelism, or I believe the Lord has put communication, or I believe the Lord has put this in my heart, Pastor. And I don't know quite how to do it. I want to bring it to you, but I believe he's put it in my heart. And I think that's the appropriate way of doing it, so that we can gather in prayer and we can trust God for the outcome, right? I want to encourage you, don't be one of the ones that look at what needs to happen and then tell other people you think they should do it. Sometimes God is showing you that so you can do it. And let me just say this, I'm talking about spiritual gifts. Hallelujah. When I put that on our website, the tool that I use shows us our spiritual gifts, but it also shows us challenges that are associated with those who have those gifts. What do you mean, Pastor Will? Well, I'm going to give you an example. Let's say, for instance, there's a person who has a gift of administration. The gift of administration is a gift that's given where people can organize things and make things fall into place. And we need that gift within the body, don't we? We need it within society as well. And so they can plan things and make sure everything is covered. They are the type that will cross every T and dot every I. And that's a great gift to have, but let me let you know that there's some challenges that you want to be aware of with that gift, because that very same person can see the disorganization of someone else, can see the disorganization of some other organization or some other situation and begin to judge them. Oh, they need to do this. Oh, they don't have this. Oh, they shouldn't do that. And see, you want to be aware, if your gift is administration, be on guard against how the flesh would want to take that and cause you to be more harmful to others than to be more good for them. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand, praise. See, when I heard about spiritual gifts and when I learned about that, they weren't telling me about the things I need to be aware of if I'm exercising this gift, that I need to be aware of with my temperament. I need to keep my temperament in check. I need to not judge. I need to keep all of the things that I'm sensing about administration that may not be the wrong, I might see them as the wrong way. They may not be the way I would do them. I have to let them do it the way God said. Now I can come along and support. I can come along and suggest. I can come along and help, but if they choose not to, that's between them and the Lord. Why should I get an attitude? Hallelujah. I think I'm preaching today. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Why should it affect me? No, I'm not going to allow it to affect me. I'm going to do what God says to. So does it concern my responsibility? You know, our last passage. Well, actually, I got to stop this. Some people are not wise in their view of others. In fact, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at this and then we're going to conclude. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at this. He says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves." And Paul is saying there's some folks that's tooting their own horns, and we're not going to compare ourselves to them. We're not going to do those kinds of things. And then he explains why. He says, "But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." Everybody see that there? So one of the ways to know if you are hearing from God is if you are able to do that, if it falls in your scope of responsibility. Now, some of you say, well, Pastor Will, I'm not quite sure. This is where we pray. This is where we trust the Lord. I mentioned the fact that one of the persons called me this week about what's going on in society. And as I was concluding the call, I was saying, you know, I believe God will use you. I believe God will use you the way he shaped you and the things that's going on in your heart. I believe God is going to use you to bring about some change and to bring about some visibility, to bring about some instruction. I believe God will use you. And this is where we want to be. Sometimes we don't know it all. Sometimes we don't have it all. But I want to encourage you, learn how to listen to the voice of God. See, learn how to listen to the voice of God. Remember, does it agree with the Bible? He's not going to tell you to do something that doesn't agree with the Bible. Will I be more like Jesus? Right. Does my church family confirm it? In my community, are they agreeing with how God is moving on my heart? Number four, is it consistent with how I'm shaped, how God has shaped me? And number five, does it concern my responsibility? Is it my responsibility? Now, when we come back next time, we're going to review this and then we're going to discuss number six and number seven. So I want to encourage you to join us again. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the sound instruction that's found in it. Thank you, Lord, for you encouraging us to trust you and not in our own ability, because it's not in what we can do. It's what you desire to do through us and in us and for us to reach others. It's not about us, Lord. It's all about you. Even though we're learning how to listen to your voice, and we're using these scenarios of how we can do that, it's really about responding to your call, responding to what you desire that we be, who we be, and what you desire we do. It's responding to you with a yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I hear your voice. I hear you clearly. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I thank you. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds, the Bible tells us. In fact, where sin grows, grace covers the sin. In fact, you even tell us in your word that be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. The light shone, darkness couldn't comprehend it, couldn't overpower it. Lord, we're learning this principle that good always overcomes evil. And I pray even during this time when our nation is in turmoil, Lord, that good would overcome evil. That those who are called by your name will not only humble themselves and pray, but they will say, God, how will you use me? How will you use me? Some will go to the front lines and some will just be used in their home. And that's as significant as being on the front line. Oh, I want to encourage you during this time when we need to hear the voice of God. We need to see God's activity in the earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus told us to pray. Well, guess what? It's God who wills in you to do of his will and his good pleasure. So we are to rely on God to work in us, to manifest that work to the world. Are you there? Can you hear from God? Are you hearing from God? I pray this message has helped you to define how to hear from God. And I pray that you are encouraged as you hear from God, because there's work for you. There's work that God wants to do through you to reach to others. And I know I'm saying that over and over, but I'm just so compelled by the Holy Spirit of God to let you know it's not about you. It's all about God using you. It's about God reaching a lost world. Did you know that God is not long-suffering as some men count slackness? Excuse me. He's not slack as concerning his promise as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. There are people out on the streets. There's people that are doing things that you may not agree with, and people are responding with hate. Believers are responding with hate. On both sides of issues, people are responding with hate. Where is the love? Where is the love? Now, let me let you know this. Love is not a doormat. love does cover a multitude of sin, but it sees what it is. It calls it what it is. It identifies what it is. And did you know that God's throne is established by righteousness and justice? So there's times that love will speak up for justice. It will. But I want to encourage you, let God use you. Let God use you as his instrument. During this time when people are hurting, people are still dying as a result of the COVID-19. People are still impacted by those that they have lost. People are still in shelter in place as we are. Can God use you as an instrument of love, of grace, of mercy? Oh, Lord, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So those of you who are hearing this message, I want to let you know, it's not by willpower that we do these things. It's not. And thank God for moral people. Thank God for folks who don't lie and cheat or cheat on their taxes and cheat on their spouses. That's good, but you know what? That doesn't get you standing with God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to encourage you, if you've never made that commitment to trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you do so? It's easy as praying a prayer. Jesus, come into my life. I believe that you died and you were buried, and God raised you from the dead. Now forgive me of my sins, and I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you for saving me. Now use me as your vessel. Fill me with your spirit so I can fulfill your will in the world, your will in the earth. And for those of you who have received Jesus and you've been walking with the Lord quite some time, I want to encourage you that you would be those vessels of peace, that you would lay aside every sin and the weight that so easily besets you, and that you would run with endurance the race that is set before you, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And you say, well, Pastor Will, I'm a believer. I've been walking with the Lord, but I kind of got sidetracked. I really don't quite know how God wants to use me right now. That's a good place to be in, because you're responding to what you heard. I'm going to pray with you. Father, I pray for those, Lord, that they don't quite know how you want to use them, but they want to be used. They may not quite know what their spiritual gifts are, but they want to be used. Father, show them. Guide them by your spirit as only you can. Guide them into the things that you desire that they would do. And help them to see you daily. Just see glimpses of your activity in their lives daily. We thank you and we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. For the last time, would you go ahead and give the Lord a hand praise? We're making